It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Laura Houston. Now, the music that you have just been listening to is by our guest, Anne-Marie Boudreau. And, well, it's very lovely to have you in the studio. We've been meaning to do this for so long now.
Yes, we have, actually, haven't we?
We finally got to do it. Now, this music is from So Welcome.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here, Laurie. Thank you.
Blessed as always, I get to... A perfect part of my job is getting to interview people and such as yourself. It's always very unique and always very interesting. So you have a new CD, and we're going to start with that because we sort of started with your music. So we may as well talk about kind of how that's sort of come about. And the name of your new CD is New Horizons, a sound journey. And the song that you just heard was... New Horizon Beckons.
Mm-hmm. So yes, it is a new horizon in the musical element that I've been exploring for the last several years. So I've really been enjoying putting this music out, and actually the wonderful musicians, of course, I get to work with are fabulous as well. So I feel quite blessed.
Oh, you didn't do it all by yourself?
No, I have some wonderful, wonderful musician friends helping me.
Because you do play almost every instrument I've seen, and some I've never seen.
There are quite a few, yes. Yeah. Well, a little bit about this new CD. Where I actually like to start, and where I actually started when I did my CD launch, was I put out the question, so what is a sound journey? Mm-hmm. Most people usually ask what it is. And I like to start with that, actually, because it really is a type of music that I think is maybe an old story in the improvisational world, but in the world that we normally have today with rock and roll music and different types of genres, usually there is someone telling the story. Mm-hmm. Usually there are words involved. There's someone telling a story, and it takes you through a whole litany of events and takes you from a point A to a point B. With a sound journey, the improvisation is actually all made up. The words are not actually words. They're called vocables. They're made up in the moment, and they're meant to depict more of an emotional aspect. Mm. So they weave in and out of the music. They're made up in the moment, and they're not meant to tell you an exact story with a language. They're meant to take you into the imagination and into an intuitive connection inside and really spark that. So it's more about awakening intuition, getting you to explore in your own mind or in your own heart what the music is evoking for you. It becomes a journey for you, a sound journey.
So is it to get you in touch with those emotions that it brings up, so that intuitive part? Like, is it to bring up memories and things within you to see where the music is taking you? Is that part of what it's about?
Yes, it is. Okay. It's really meant to evoke connections on the inside for the individual, rather than have the story being told from the outside to the end. And also it gets people out of a mental place, a thinking place, and into a more feeling-centered place. And when that happens, there's a lot more heart connection as well.
It's almost like a meditation. You should be listening to it, not while you're doing other things, but while you're on your own and sort of getting in touch with your own inner being.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Lovely. Now, you do a lot of different things, and we were sort of discussing that you actually have another life. But let's talk about what was your own personal journey. We'll weave in all of these things, because you do a lot of different things, and we're going to bring in some more of your music as the show goes on, because I want people to get a feel for the different types of music and the different songs that you have in your new CD. You also have an older CD that's out there as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you have lots going on. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
about my journey. Well, my own journey actually started when I was quite young with music. I was put on a piano and got into practice and encouraged to continue playing for many years when I was, started when I was about six.
Nice.
So that trailed me through my whole life. And I did train as a classical concert pianist.
Nice.
And found that even though I was teaching, there was something lacking
mm-hmm.
in teaching a system by rote. I love classical music. I don't get me wrong about that. I do really love it, but I found that something was just, the heart wasn't in it for me.
Mm-hmm.
About 7 or 8 years ago, I stepped into the world of drumming circles, and mm-hmm. I met a gentleman named Gary Diggins, who I started exploring improvisational sound with, and he sort of started me off on this trail of many instruments that I have.
I mean, how he has many a plethora of instruments.
But two rooms full.
You go onto your website and you can see the rooms, beautiful, beautiful pictures of all of these instruments. You're going, wow.
And interestingly enough, I realized that the grand piano is not in there.
Oh.
So I have to make sure that gets put in at some point.
I think so.
But I really do love the world instruments that I did have a chance to explore mm. with the other players that musicians I've been playing with. So I really have been fortunate in the different types of world instruments that have come my way. To start with, I had a beautiful Celtic harp built and made for me. And that ties in with a group that I co-founded, and I'm using it for specific reasons. But I'll get into that later. I also had a beautiful African Ngoni made for me. It's usually made out of a gourd with a long stem and string rigging system to tune it. But the wonderful gentleman who made this actually was a carpenter, so he made it out of the tools of his trade.
Nice.
So it's a beautiful piece of art as well as an instrument. I did some travels in India, and lo and behold, a sitar followed me home.
Followed you, did it?
Yeah. I have a feeling that it's going to take several lifetimes to really get that one. But I'm really loving it. I'm loving the exotic new flavors that it's bringing into my world. There are many other East Indian instruments, the Shruti box and the tempura, the swarsangam that I use. And there's a wonderful tabla player that I jam and play with. There are Middle Eastern instruments, the dumbek and the sumbari drumming. There's other African instruments, the tongue drum, the balafone, kalimbas. So there's a plethora there. I could go on, but I'll stop there.
Wow. So your journey has mostly been about music, but it's also been about your soul and your spirit, because that's what has been your passion.
Exactly.
And healing.
Yes. I think what I really tapped into when I stepped into the world of improvisation is about really being present, being in the moment, in the now, as Eckhart Tolle mm-hmm. would say, and really living life from this moment. And that brought me to a place of better knowing for myself. It also helped open the doors in my own exploration for wanting to know more, to wanting to go deeper. And so I ended up studying spiritual psychotherapy at the Transformational Arts College. And I'm actually now on their faculty. I bring sound work in to work with their rituals and the different programs that they have there. So combining sound with a therapy practice has really been a very unique combining for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that it's helped me to not only deepen and enrich my own life, but really work more deeply with my own clients as we move into places and spaces where sometimes words do not express or cannot hold the space mm-hmm. enough for what people are moving through emotionally.
Hmm. And is there any defining moment that sort of caused this transformation 7 or 8 years ago? Was there anything that sort of pushed that you said, okay, I've got to do something, or if there's...
There was a new horizon beckoning, uh-huh. just like the title of the song, actually. Sound journey that I created, the new CD, A New Horizon, really, I think, is representational of some of my own journey.
Yes.
I think that point 7 or 8 years ago in my own life that drew me forward really was that defining moment where there was not enough sustenance for a soul in my world at that time. And so there was something on the horizon that was beckoning. It was saying, here, come on, there's something really wonderful over here. Why don't you start exploring? Check it out. And that is actually how every hero's journey starts. Have you heard of Joseph Campbell?
Mm-hmm,
yes, the anthropologist. So he talks of the hero's journey, and there's that aspect of there's something that calls you out to journey, to explore. And along that line of journeying and exploring, there's also all kinds of trials and tribulations. Then oftentimes, and hopefully, that there is a boon, which is a gift. And that is in the learning that you have. And the final stage is bringing that boon and that gift back to your community and working with them and to expand the health of the community that you're thriving and living in.
Mm-hmm.
So for myself, that point 7 or 8 years ago was like, hey, there's something more that you're being called to do. And once I stepped into the world of studying therapy, of studying sound work, I found that there was so much richness in it that I just took that step out and started on the path.
Now, as many who start this path, we often find relationships that we were in no longer fit our life now. And mm-hmm. so you went through that transformation, but you actually never went through the transformation of losing your job. Like I am so amazed that you have a full-time job. And I know it has nothing to do with this, but just the fact that you have somehow been able to weave all of these areas into your life and maintain that is just unbelievable to me because you do so much. Like I just can't imagine. I can't imagine how you've been able to maintain it.
I think mostly because it really is the groundwork for supporting all the other wonderful things that I do. Okay. So I feel great gratitude for having that mm-hmm. day job mm-hmm. because it does keep me going in a lot of different areas. And I wouldn't have been able to travel to Peru to study with shaman. I wouldn't have been able to journey to India and have sitars trail me home.
Or have all of these beautiful instruments made for you. Yeah.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
I could see where that would work too. It's a to your benefit. You know, and especially at these times, I do a lot of intuitive work, and a lot of people, you know, come into this stage, and usually that's the first thing they want to change mm-hmm. is their job, because they find that it's not fulfilling and it's not. And I'm never the person that says, you know, you need to leave your job. I'm always the person that says, you know, this is a tough industry to make it on your own, and don't try and make it on your mm-hmm. own. You know, get as many people that you can network with, that join with, create with,
yeah.
and, you know, hold out, because, you know, and these times that we're in right now, there's so much fear around the economic situation that we're in that all the power to you, sister. I just don't know how you do it. Because that's usually the first place.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You want to be able to leave that and step fully into this new arena.
And you've stepped fully into this new arena, yet you still have held on to and created that space to allow yourself to be nurtured mm-hmm. financially so that you can fully. But I mean, your whole essence is of this very calm and very centered and very present person. Are you like that at work?
I tend to be most days, yes.
Good answer.
I think everyone has their off days.
Of course. Yeah, because, you know, that's the other thing that I get a lot is, you know, people don't know how to stay present and centered. I mean, we've all heard of, you know, the hermit, or, you know, the people, you want to go away, you want to be, you know, somewhere else and not in the city, and let alone in a, you know, a corporate environment, that it becomes much more challenging because there's all these people around you. See, I find myself very blessed because I only bring into people in my home that, you know, I'm doing work with or I'm doing the radio with. And, you know, so most of the time, you know, my life is pretty balanced and very centered. And, you know, it's very rare that things happen that get me spiraled out. But I'm not working, you know, in an environment where it's, you know, a corporate environment where there's all these people that are coming and going into your life that aren't going to be centered and balanced. So,
Well, part of this comes back to my note about at the end of a journey, you bring your boon or your gift back to your community. Mm-hmm. And I sort of sat with that for a long time and thought, well, you know, there's got to be a way to bring it into the community at the 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why I'm still here. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why I'm connected with this group. And why not bring some of the gifts and some of those boons into the place where I'm at? So I actually have found different ways to bring that in. I've been involved in some of the events and sort of added to musically at several times as well. People know that I do this on the side, and so I can be asked at any point to step in to help out. And it's been a lot of fun, actually, getting to know people through this part of who I am in a corporate environment, as you say.
Mm-hmm. It's lovely. Very impressed.
Thank you.
So what would you say, and you found a way to weave it all together, but what would you say is the essence of your heart? What is it that really makes you who you are? Is it the sound work? Is it the, you know, the psychotherapy? What is it? Or is it the combination? Is it the way that you weave it together? Like, what is it that really sits at your heart that is your passion?
I think sitting at the very heart of it is my passion for simply being alive, for the creativity that we get to express. And I tend to be very creative because I'm not only a musician and psychotherapist, and I do pottery. Oh. I'm an artist. I paint.
Okay, seriously, I dance. When do you have time for any of this stuff?
I've had several lifetimes already, I guess. I've had a few chapters going.
All at once? Unbelievable.
I stack them up. But I find that really at the essence, at the center of it, it really is about just being in every single moment, and that goes beyond the what I do part. Mm-hmm. I remember when friends spent time in India, the group of us went over, and I found really staying present to the whole experience, to all of it, the goods, the bads, the chaos, the gorgeousness, the beauty, the challenges. Mm-hmm. I found that if I could stay present to it all, then I had a better balance for myself on the inside. Mm-hmm. So coming back here, what I really learned was just to appreciate how much we have in North America. We're very privileged in many ways, and in very different ways than the rest of the world. So I found coming back, I was able to hold my center through the chaos that would be happening around me, no matter where it was. And sometimes that comes not only from a day job, that can come from the evening things or the weekend work that I do as well. Mm-hmm. It can come from anywhere. So it was really about holding my center through everything.
So you really take enjoying life to its maximum.
I like to think I do. I have a few friends who probably agree with that.
That's great. I mean, that is really what life is about, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Is to enjoy it.
Every moment. It is juicy in so many ways. And so often, though, parts of us have just shut down or shut off. And I found that that's what was happening for me. So
7 or 8 years ago?
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. So it was really time to step out of that box and explore. And I'm very grateful for where the journey has led me. And in my own work with the private practice, I really encourage people to step out and explore whatever juiciness that really enriches their own lives as well, and to find a way for it to fit into their life along with everything else that they're doing, because it's hard to just stop and turn over your life, as you were saying mm-hmm. earlier. Not very many people can do it. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of finding that slot where you can add it in. And maybe it's the fact that you go down and you to the main street and pick up something from a fruit market and you smell the ripe mangoes and the pineapples and you just take that extra moment to, you know, drink in the freshness and the bounty of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we can slip those in right mm-hmm. through our day.
Lovely. Let's play one of your songs. Which song would you like?
How about Embracing the Path? That's
you know, I somehow thought, you know, that's what you do. So let's listen to Embracing the Path. Into where we are talking about right now, and tell us a little bit about what that meant for you, embracing the path, because then we can go flow right into your workshops.
Well, for those who haven't actually read the CD, the litany of titles on the back for the pieces start out with "The New Horizon Beckons," then moves into "Stepping Out," "A Last Look Back," and then "Embracing the Path." So those are all stages of stepping out on that journey. You want to go exploring. And finally, you say, okay, yes, I'm committing. I'm doing it. I'm going to embrace that. And you go out and you sign up for a class, or you sign up for a workshop, something that's going to give you even just a hint of maybe where you'd like to go. Maybe it'll expand your horizons and where you want to explore. But there's that stepping out and that embracing of the past. So that's the stage that it's talking about. So yes, leading into the workshops that I do, a lot of those are meant to and designed to actually to help people really explore. One of the wonderful things that I love about the workshops is that they're experiential. You get to dive in and actually experience the work. You get to live it, to breathe it, to do it, to be it. It's interactive. And a lot of times it's really about allowing that inner child to come out and play again. Because part of the journey for me has been really allowing that inner child to play. Because as an adult growing up, we get more serious and more serious. There's more responsibilities put on our back. And of course, with the pressures of the economic climate of the globe right now, that's putting a whole lot of pressure on so many families around the world. So to me, it really is about tapping back into that beautiful inner child nature that can find the wonder and the beauty in the world that is still around us and embracing us. So that is somewhat of what I instill and put into my workshops. So to give you a name or two, the journey of the senses, how does that sound? It's actually meant to tap into our tantric natures, so our sensual side. And no, it's not about sex. It is about actually enjoying all of our senses. We have the sense of smell and taste, of seeing, of hearing, of feeling, of being touched. And so many people become so isolated later on in life. They don't have even those connections with others. And so in this workshop, we move towards really being in your body, getting grounded in it, and then moving into sensual massaging, which really awakens all of the senses.
You know, I think it's one of the biggest problems in our society. We are so sexually repressed and so touch deprived that, you know, it's just a very taboo area that should not be taboo. It's, you know, it's something that we just don't understand enough about and don't I personally believe that we would not have war and we would not have such anger and hate if we were more understanding the richness of life and more understanding our own sexuality and not being repressed and not being touch deprived and yet, you know, fully not needing it from another person, but just, you know, participating, that that's what this world is about, is, you know, we have such a rich array of emotions to our, that is available to us. And, you know, the sensual aspect of who we are and the senses that we have. And, you know, it's, there's just so much more to this that we really need to embrace and understand about ourselves to enjoy life.
I totally agree. Because we're on the planet. We're here for a reason.
Yeah,
we're alive.
We're in this third dimensional planet for a reason. I mean, we chose here. We wanted to be here. I mean, this is the time that everybody has been waiting for. I mean, it's just so much is happening. So much is going to happen. I mean, it's so exciting. But we still have so far to go with regards to our sexuality and, you know, just understanding that.
Yes, yes. And unfortunately, so many boundaries for people have been crossed, or there can be unhealthy things that have happened in people's past or lives, which again enforces that shutdown and that non-stepping into the sensual world, mm-hmm. everything gets shut down, gets closed down. And we end up living in our heads. We end up living in our minds. And we forget that we have bodies. Oh, really? I have to go. Well, I'll exercise it. Fine. It's a tool. But in actual fact, it's an amazing, miraculous gift to have this wonderful body that does all these wonderful things for us and that we can explore and experience pleasure through. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful part of who we are. You know, to deny that, it's such a shame.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
So those must be very interesting workshops.
Yes, yes, they are. It's amazing how people respond to them. I really love seeing the awakening, the opening up. So many people have come back and said, you know, my gosh, I never thought and realized it was this simple to just get involved in their own sensual pleasure in life. Mm-hmm. The simple things that we can do. People are always shocked and surprised at that. Mm. And I think I was telling you earlier, and just what about walking into a store and smelling those ripe mangoes and pineapples as you're picking them up and going, doesn't that smell good? You know, you take a moment at the supermarket. Why not? You take a moment anywhere. Walk out onto the street and look at the sun. Look at the beautiful sunset right through your window right here. You know, we've got that little bit of pink happening, and as it's so nice to see sunshine, I have to admit, in the evening now.
Yes.
I love that. So you take those little moments and you stack them all up, and it's like, yeah, it's been a juicy day. It's been a nice day. Yeah.
Yeah. Just that simple thing of picking up your fruit. I mean, how many people don't do that? And we end up taking something home that has no smell to it. It's like, oh my goodness, why did I pick this? If it has no smell, it's got no taste for fruit. That's great.
Yeah.
So I assume that a workshop is not just for couples, that it's for everybody.
It is for everybody. Yeah. I've had couples and singles and everyone enjoys it. Everyone comes out just that much more in touch with their own sensual nature.
Nice.
Yeah. And another very popular workshop that I do is vocal workshops. And there are several different types that I do as well. But the one I think I still have the most fun with is the introductory one. And that is just really getting people to start exploring their voices. I'll sit in circle with large groups, and it's amazing the different stories that I'll hear of people who have been shut down or been told to be quiet, told to sit still and not make a noise, or told to mouth the words and not sing with the choir.
Oh,
amazing the different responses people have received in their life to their voice. And so many will shut down. And so when I'm sitting in circle and hear the stories, all I want to do is help them share and explore and see where their voice can take them. But a lot of times there's so much fright that goes along with letting my voice out, saying what I mean.
It's a vulnerability too.
It is a very vulnerable thing to actually say what you need to, speak your truth. Many people are very frightened of confrontation or saying what they need to and sharing what they need to. And so therefore they hold it all down, and it does. It gets trapped in the body. It gets trapped in the throat, and it gets trapped in the emotions as well. And it'll start to build and build and build. So when I get into private practice, just as an offshoot, oftentimes I'll be helping people who have had a lot of emotion building up for a long time to release it through sounding, which is a wonderful way to release emotional states that have been building up for a while.
Hmm. And their own sounding or through your sounding?
Through their sounding. Okay. It's interactive. Okay. There are many different ways to do it. You can do it through instruments or playing them. There's a lot of very easy handheld ones that can be used, or through the voice itself.
Nice.
But back to the vocal circles again, though. One of the things that really delights me is when you do start working with people and taking them into very playful exercises, they're inner child just pops up so quickly. Mm. And the whole energy of the circle will change and shift. And you have people who are practically dancing their way out the door because they're singing and sounding, and they've been given, you know, complete permission and support to do exactly that, to vocalize, to share, to sound in an arena that felt safe and felt comfortable. And, you know, and they're also being encouraged to do it as they leave and with their community outside, you know, mm-hmm. once they leave mm-hmm. that space. You know, keep it going. Mm-hmm. Pay it forward, as they say, like that movie.
Yes, beautiful movie. Very tragic, sad, but yes, beautiful.
A beautiful message.
Beautiful
yeah.
message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And you also do things with instruments, though. Is that part of the vocal, or is that separate?
I do different types of workshops that actually include world instruments, handheld instruments. So I'll introduce people to using their voices, and then using their voices in conjunction with these instruments, and then creating intentional soundings for each other. Mm. And so I love introducing that work as well. Just to talk about intentional sounding a little bit more, when people are actually singing, they're singing out to a crowd or a room filled with people, it's very different than, say, singing to one person in the center of the room who's laying down and receiving, and they just simply need to be held in a heartfelt space. Mm. So when you have a group singing intentionally for that person, it tends to open the heart quite a little bit more, and it's a different kind of experience when you're sharing and singing from that place mm-hmm. than just singing by rote to an audience who may or may not be listening in a very crowded room. Mm-hmm. It's a very different kind of experience. So I love creating scenarios where people do get to experience intentional sounding.
Nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So one of the really fun experiences that I do host as well is sound journeys. Well, ties in with the CD. But sound journey experiences are really meant to help people dive into that stillness within themselves and to spend time in that intuitive or imaginative world and seeing what they connect with on the inside. Some people enjoy the sound journey experiences just as a vipassana. What actually happens when people, not as a vipassana, but as a shavasana meditation. I got that wrong. What happens is people do come and with their mats and their blankets and pillows and a bottle of water, and they lay down for 90 minutes mm-hmm. and myself and other sounders will actually create a live surround soundscape throughout the whole room. So you'll have instruments actually played over the body and around the body, as well as musicians creating a sonic bass while all of this is going on. So it really is almost a little bit like a shamanic journey. You're mm-hmm. taking people into a state that gets them a little bit more in touch with their unconscious or with their intuition, with that place where threads start weaving together. Mm. And that's where people may get hits of, ah, something just happened there. Let's see. Let's play it out. Let's take it there. So a lot of times it's wonderful to really see what comes up for people, and the conversations I have with them afterwards are wonderful as well.
Mm. Hmm. Yeah, that sounds great. Now, you also do events.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's one of the events that mm-hmm. I do host.
I've been in one of your events where you had a large group of people going around. None of us were lying down with our blankets, but we were all sitting up. But it was very, it was very lovely experience. It was a very kind of surreal because it was a large group of people.
Well, that was an audience that time. I think there was about 200, 250 people in an audience. And so, yes, I had surrounders going up and down the aisles while people sat in their chairs. And that went on for about 20 minutes or so. Yeah.
It was long, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's something that's unusual in the way music is being promoted in this day and age. It sort of harkens back to a bit more of shamanic traditions and really just creating a sound container for whatever the receiver wants to put into it. Hmm. Whatever comes up through the journey, through the sounds, whatever is inspired or intuited through that period of time of music. Yeah.
Are there any events coming up that you want to speak of? That
actually, I have a sound journey happening. I'm hosting one on Saturday, this coming Saturday, March 21st. It's at Vivace Studios out in the west end of the city at 291 Jane. That's just above Bloor. And 7:30, we actually start. So everyone usually comes in with their rolls and blankets, etc., about 7:15, and they set up their nest and get ready for the journey. The one this month is actually themed stillness into movement. So part of the room will actually be for those who just want to lie in Shavasana for 90 minutes, and another part will be open up so that people can move into dancing, move their bodies if they really want to move it. And I'm sort of keeping it in connection with nature, because we're at that point in the spring where the buds and the seeds below the earth are really trying to push their way up through to reach that sunlight. Mm-hmm. So it's about moving from that point of stillness and into a movement, into your own dance, just like spring is finding its way through.
And do you have these every month? Is that what you're saying?
I do have and host Sound Journey events each month. Next month, actually, it's a little bit more interactive. I'm at back at Train Jazz Studios on April 26th, and I'm actually doing an evening of fun music, but also there's a lot of interactive and vocalizing that goes on, and there'll be a lot of dancing as well. So it's not the typical bar scene evening.
No.
And anyone who was at my CD launch will know there was a lot of involvement that was going on in that room.
Nice. Okay. Do you want to pick another song?
Sure. How about Visions?
Okay.
Number five. Yeah.
We may not play the whole song since it's a long one, but yeah.
Sure. A little bit.
A little bit.
Thank you.
And that was Visions. So we took another break here because we're coming now into an area that's a little bit different. There's a new area that you've been working with, or you have another group that you do. I can't believe all the work that you do. But and this is really, it's called the Sound, Breath, and Energy Group.
Yes.
And it has more to do, well, you talk about it.
Well, it's a group I co-founded with my friend Michelle Meehan, who is a integrative breath therapist. What we both wanted to do was to be able to bring more of the alternative healing modalities into the arena of those dealing with terminal illness, long-term illness, and those who are moving through final passage. I found for myself that I was inspired very much in using sound in this manner by Teresa Schroeder-Schecker, who is a woman in the United States who brought back music thanatology, which was a tradition by the Franciscan monks who used to sit bedside and sing to their brethren while the brethren was moving through to his final passage to death. And there would be someone holding him from behind and breathing with him, and then he would be surrounded by the beautiful voices of his brethren. And so she has translated this into a modern form of therapy down in Oregon. She teaches this at St. Patrick's Hospital in one of the universities there. And they use harpists, actually, and singers to sit bedside. And then they will have someone behind the person holding them and embracing them and breathing with them. So
quite beautiful.
It's a beautiful, beautiful way to be surrounded and held very gently and cradled at what is for many a very, very frightening time of life. It's the one with the biggest question mark for all of us, I think. What happens next, right? But it is a very, it can be a very turbulent time too, especially for those who are moving through long-term illness or through terminal illness. They know that they've only got so much time to deal with things. And there are so many physical trials and tribulations that they have to move through, so many different emotional states that they have to move through, and so many things that they have to deal with on a mental, physical, a family level. Their whole world is changing. Their family around them, their community around them will change. So supporting people moving through that crisis is what the Sound, Breath, and Energy Group was formulated to do. And we put together sound work, which is, again, the type of mix of world acoustic instruments that I use, along with breath work, integrative breath work, as well as energy modalities. Reiki is most often used. So a client will come in and meet with us and maybe express some of the issues that are coming up around them, and we'll formulate a session to support them specifically, to help them ease an emotional burden, or just to be cradled and held for a while, or to help release strong emotions that have come up for them. So we can actually have people come and visit us, or oftentimes I will go right to bedside. I've done that in old age homes, or I've done that in cancer wards. I've gone right in with my harp. And again, this harkens back to the beginning of the interview. I was telling you about the beautiful Celtic harp that I had made for me. And that harp has come into cancer wards and played and just been there to add that aspect of, there's more here.
Now, it's quite a large one, is it not?
The harp?
Yeah.
No, it's a 24-string. Okay. And it's the Celtic harp. It's probably just up to shoulder length, a height. And you can actually take it by the post and carry it.
Okay.
So it's easily manageable to, really? To tote around. Okay. Yeah. It's not like the great big formal concert. Harps. <All right. laughs> Just checking.
It looks big.
So, but I really do love this work. And to me, I think the my own experiences around death and dying through my own life with those who have been close to me and how it's touched me in different ways has really encouraged this work. And when I found out about how Teresa Schroeder Schreker was using sound and putting it together with the sound work and grief work program that Gary had developed, and adding those together really gave me the means and wherewithal to create this group and start using music really as a sacred container, as something to hold, to cradle those who are moving through deep and frightening places.
Mm-hmm. So you also do it for grief work as well. So those,
yes,
those left behind.
Exactly.
It's always, yeah,
yeah, the family, yeah, the family, because it is very hard on those left behind. You know, unfortunately, the others, in a way, were lucky to go first. Mm-hmm. They don't have to deal with how do I live without this person beside me, this wonderful being that I curled up with every night. You know, there's that, mm-hmm, that missing that goes on and on. So, yes, we're there to support the family through those missing times, mm-hmm, and the grieving times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, grieving is a very important process that I think, you know, we don't honor enough, mm-hmm, and understand it. And it's very much a healing journey to be able to grieve.
And there are quite a few different types of stages as well.
Sure.
You know, we go into shock, we freeze, we go through chaos, we go through anger. Mm-hmm. We go through, you know, many different stages before we get to those ones of acceptance. And there could be something else that triggers us and goes right back into that first stage all, mm-hmm, over again. So it can cycle around, mm-hmm, and around depending upon how we've dealt with it or been able to move through it.
Mm-hmm. But what a beautiful way to transition into the next stage of your life, because it, yeah, would be a lovely way to feel that nurturing and that love. Not that once you're gone you don't, because I'm pretty confident that that is the entire aspect of the next few days of transition, but mm-hmm, it would be lovely to feel that support here. And I think there are a lot of people that die alone.
There that,
well, mm, a lot of people die alone, but I, mm, you know, where they're completely alone, as you say, in nursing homes or in hospitals, and you know, it's not really necessary, but we don't really know how to honor that process. I think it's too scary for most of us to even, you know, want to.
It is frightening to look at our own
immortality,
deaths.
Yeah.
And yes, exactly. Mortality. It's very frightening to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I find that the ability to sit with those who are moving through that process can be really challenging for so many. And so many people feel that they need to do something as, yeah, well. They have to, they'll buy things or they'll act on things or bring things rather than just sit and hold space. Mm. Maybe listen one day. Maybe just hold a hand the other day. Maybe curl them up in your arms and let them cry another day. It's just, mm-hmm, just the fact that someone is there and holding space, I think, is the biggest gift we can give anyone who is going through these trials and tribulations.
Mm. And how do people find out about this?
They can actually go to my website, and I have extensive information on grief work. And I do have several different collaborations that I work with. So if you go to annemarieboudreau.com, that the tab is grief work.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Like I said, you do a lot of different things. Mm. That one's probably very rewarding, but must be very challenging.
It is challenging, but like you say, it is rewarding, because every time I sit bedside or I work with someone, it reminds me of the value of life. Mm-hmm. So I get reminded regularly about how valuable, how precious life really is, and how important it is to drink up and live every sensual moment. We go back to the journey of the senses. Those workshops that were developed because of that need, you know, in that life is meant to be lived now. Right now, to be in it, to be fully present, to be awake, to be aware, to be sensuously alive. Yes. And if anything that any of these deaths and passings have taught me, it is about being here right now and being alive in all the ways that I can be alive, enjoying every moment.
It certainly would be a big reminder. Big reminder. It must also be quite a blessing. I know that I, you know, it's not in comparison, but I had to put my last cat down. And when I did that, you know, the question was, you know, would I be there? And I knew I had to. I wasn't sure what, you know, that would be like. But, you know, before the full injection went into him, I felt him go up through my body and out the top of my head. So it was very powerful in that. And certainly if I had any questions, you know, they certainly were answered in that moment, because it was a very, you know, intense experience when he floated up and like zoomed out. And, you know, the feeling of it going through my body was pretty incredible.
It sounds like a beautiful moment of grace.
Really? Yeah. So I can imagine what it must be like for you as well, because you're, you know, this was just a kitten or a cat that, you know, much smaller. I mean, I guess their spirits are pretty much the same size, but
there's no just as. There's no just.
But I can
every living form and being is precious.
Yes.
Whether it's a person, whether it's a pet, whether it's just a beautiful animal by the side of the road, even the flower in the vase. It's appreciating the soul and the spirit in whatever being is there.
Well, it sounds like beautiful work. I would like to actually experience that at some point.
We'll talk.
Yes. I'm not sure that the transition I'm ready for at this point, but certainly, you know, to experience what that would be like would be
experience a session with a group.
Yeah.
It would be lovely to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So is there anything we haven't spoken about, because we're almost out of time?
Ah, well, actually, just if there's any questions about, let's see. Did you pick up anything else off of the website, or did anything else speak to you?
You know, it's a beautiful website, and people should go to it just to see, you know, the beauty of it, because there's, well, the pictures of your instruments and the rooms are just stunning. And so just the beauty captures the essence of who you are, because it's all about the sensual nature of who you are. So I think, you know, people would get a lot out of just visiting it. And you've already said it again, but why don't you say it with spelling your last name so people know how to get to you?
Sure. The website is annemarieboudreau.com. That's spelled AnnemarieBoudreau. So annemarieboudreau.com.
Perfect. So why don't we end off with another song, or do we want to finish Visions?
Why don't you end off the last one, actually.
Yes. The Return Home.
The Return Home is that bringing the boon, the gift back to the community again, and that sense of celebration in coming home. So this final song on the CD is called The Return Home, and it would be wonderful to play that.
Nice. And again, thank you very much, and we'll be back next week. Oh, no, we'll be back on Thursday.
So thank you very much, Lori, for having me on the show. It was
my
pleasure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
seriendo baleio.
Perdiendo el río.
Nadie te quiere ensayar.